to be broken this year, for bondages to be crushed this year, for opportunities to be presented, opened up. I expect for God to be glorified. I expect as we allow Him to, He will sensitize our spirits at a higher level to His will. Is it somebody may say, well, I'm not sure. Is it even biblical for spiritual leaders to proclaim a fast? Let me give you a couple of verses in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Chapter 2, verse 15, God said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. The chapter previous to that in verse 14, declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. See, in addition to just this is the beginning day of the 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. I want to invite you to come and join with us on Saturday evenings from 6 till 7 for the next 3 Saturdays for a night of prayer and worship. During this time, it's not for preaching, it's not really evangelistic, but it's praying, it's worshiping. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us and see what He has for us. Amen. So you can come. That's from 6 to 7. We hardly ever have services that start at that time. So just mark it on your calendar for coming together if you can for those times. I'm aware that this prayer and fasting thing is such a new adventure for many here that I'm going to take some time this morning and laying the foundation for this fast that we're proclaiming. So I want to help answer about 3 questions today relative to fasting. Number one is why fast? Why fast? Matthew 6, verse 16, Jesus said these words, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will, say that rest with me, reward you openly. So we're not putting a big label on our chest that says, hey, I'm in fasting and prayer. Look at me. I'm pretty holy, you know. He said, if you do that, there's your reward. I hope you enjoy it. But we're going to go. But Jesus is saying, no, go back. But when in this setting, in Matthew 6, there are 3 things that Jesus is expressing in that context. It's really preceding what he just said that we just read about fasting. He had said, when you give, and he goes on to explain about giving and alms and helping people. And he goes on and says, when you pray, that's where what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer is found. When you pray, do it this way. He explains some of that. And then he says, when you fast. The point that I mentioned here is he didn't say about any of those things, if you give and if you pray or if you fast. But it seems that all of those he expects to be part of normal Christian disciplines. But some of you are this morning asking even a more basic question than why fast. Number 2, what is fasting? And somebody mentioned that this week in a joking way to me in the hallway. So fasting, is that the opposite of slowing? No, not then to connect exactly. Fasting simply means abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is a setting aside what is even legitimate appetites in order to focus on seeking the Lord. When you enter into this, and some of you have, you are building up and preparing for this today. My body started going into rebellion about November, I'm pretty sure. Now, y'all who are much more holy, you probably didn't even faze you, but for me, I just, You know, and just now I started having thoughts of food coming across my mind. You will experience that in these 3 weeks or so to come, perhaps, again. But what is really important as we're declaring this time, this sacred time, this holy time, is one of the declarations that we're really making is that fasting is, and we'll put that on the screen, fasting is that our body will not control us, but that our spirit man will. Amen. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He recreated your spirit or your nature on the inside. Amen. Jesus said it in John 3, verse 6. He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's your spirit. He didn't recreate our bodies, though. He didn't recreate our souls at that time. So if we don't do something with our body and our soul, and we let those parts of who we are, spirit, soul, and body, if we let our soulish and our fleshy part of our life dominate us, we're going to be moving backwards and not forward in God. Can I hear an amen right there? As born-again believers, we're going to choose to allow, and we're going to declare even in this fast that our spirit man is going to be in charge rather than our natural appetites. Now, Paul made an incredibly strong statement relative to not allowing our natural man to be in control, but rather our spirit man. Actually, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. But it's 1 Corinthians 9:25 said, everyone who competes in the games, and that was the Olympic type games that were prevalent in Rome, in the Roman Empire in that time. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. He's making the obviously the metaphorical comparison of the athletics and the Christian walk. And he says in verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. I bring it into subjection. That word from the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, it means I make it a slave. I treat my body as a slave. The I he's referring to there is, of course, his spirit man. I discipline my body. I make it a slave to my spirit. There is such a natural tendency for our bodies and our emotions to be in charge. Those certainly want to be the eyes with the loudest voices. I feel, I want, I need, I desire. Hear what Jesus said, Matthew 26:41. He said, watch and pray. Read that out loud with me. Let's begin at the beginning of that verse and say it together. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I did not know Pastor Theresa was going to quote Romans 6:14. Let me back it up one verse, Romans 6:13. The instruction is, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, and now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. The word instrument is sometimes translated weapon. As a weapon to do what's right for the glory of God. In this fast, I got to declare this 200-pound body that, body, it's none of your business. Why are you looking at me with that attitude? Body, you are not in control. My mouth is not in control. My hands, my feet, my eyes. Rather, God, I anticipate you're strengthening my spirit, man, on the inside to dominate. Our body is to be our servant, not our master. Amen. Does God really move through this thing that the Bible calls as we look at prayer and fasting? Look at some who have done it and give you a quick review right here. We see from the scriptures that as Moses fasted, God gave him the Ten Commandments. In the Old Testament, as this woman of God, Esther, called on her people, the Jewish people, to fast, that she and the Jewish people were spared from what looked like certain execution. Hannah fasted and prayed, and God gave her a son named Samuel, who became a great prophet in Israel. The people of Nineveh, when Jonah came preaching about the judgment that was about to come on Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh fasted and prayed, and God spared them. Daniel fasted. He needed some answers from God. He set himself apart to fast. And with Daniel, as we'll talk about in a moment, it was actually a partial fast. No meats, no bread, it would seem no sweets, just vegetables and fruits. Yet for 3 weeks or 21 days, Daniel fasted. There's an interesting part of that experience with Daniel. The scripture says that from the day he set himself to seek the Lord, that God sent an answer. Some of you, in preparation, even for today, you've set yourself to seek the Lord. Amen? And he said that from the day you set yourself, that the Lord sent the answer. But it says that Daniel's answer that was sent through an angel was delayed by a demonic spirit for 3 weeks, 21 days. But as he fasted, the power of that delay was broken, and God sent a warring angel so that God's purposes could be revealed to Daniel. I expect revelation to take place in these next several weeks and on into 2020. Fast forward to the New Testament, we see that Paul fasted. We see that Peter fasted. We see that Jesus fasted. At the end of the fast that Jesus did, launching him into public ministry, the Bible says that he returned from that time of fasting and prayer in the power of the Spirit. So again, answering the question, what is a fast? Look at three types with me. A few times, less than a handful of times that I can recall in the scripture, people went on an absolute fast. An absolute fast was a time of no food and no water. If you're doing that, that has to be in very short periods. That needs to be a word of the Lord to take you beyond that. But then there's what we would call, biblically, we see as a normal fast. It's where you eat no food and just drink water. And many of you during this fast, you're going to choose to fast that way. Maybe one day, or maybe you'll fast one or two meals a day, or 3 days, or as a normal fast. Again, eating no food and just drinking water. And there's a third kind of fast that I referred to a moment ago, called a partial fast. Many refer to it as a Daniel fast. No meat, no bread, no sweets. Let me just pause there as I remind my body that it is no sweets. No, just vegetables or fruit and other details. In the bulletin insert that you've been getting over the last several weeks, there's outlines of scripture and reasons and a lot of other scriptural references about fasting, what it accomplishes, so you can use that later. But I want you to seriously ask. Everybody that's born again here, I want you to seriously ask the Lord how he wants you to participate in this. Love to see 100% participation, but we're not taking names and, reprimanding you that choose not to. I just want you as a believer, child of God, God, how do you want me to do this? How would you have me participate? For, again, some of you, it's maybe one meal a day. For some of you, it'll be one or two or 3 days and in a normal fast, eating no food, only water. Some are going to complete maybe that week or those 21 days with a Daniel fast or partial fast. But here's an important thing. Now, I say this in light of a real truth that I'm not, some of you are really highly just naturally disciplined people. And I applaud you. You mean, you make decisions, whether it is in athletics or it's physical health and things like that. I'm not strongly disciplined in that area. But what I really have to understand is that during this time of prayer and fasting, what I'm calling us as a church to intentionally and purposely undertake this time of fasting in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in just your willpower. Because when we go into this, it's like, wow. Whew, body, you are not going to dominate. See, there are things that God wants to break through, because it's not just about pushing back that way. It's drawing on the Holy Spirit to empower discipline in us. And did you know discipline is one of the fruits of the Spirit? In Galatians chapter 5, self-control is actually the meaning of that word. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance or self-control. Watch and discover the power of God in this area
and for this purpose. And watch how his power being released there is also going to pour into other areas of our life if we'll let him. Amen. Intentionally and purposely drawing on his power. Now, let me make sure that we're on the same page here. We are not going on a church-wide Christianized diet. You're with me? But we're choosing to seek the Lord. If all you're doing is going without food, you might lose some weight, but your spiritual life is not going to be changed as a result of that. I believe God wants to do some changes in me and in our lives together. But put the Word of God in prayer and focus at this time. Biblically, it's prayer and fasting. How many times a week do you suppose we think food-related thoughts? Some of us quite a bit. I'm suspecting over the next 3 weeks it may increase a bit about food. But why don't we read deliberately as we have a hunger pain or an awareness of some food attraction there, that we refocus it and we speak to the Lord there. I had a Sunday school teacher I grew up under, and I remember he one of the things that he had been apparently an alcoholic and other addictions in his life when he had come to the Lord. But one of the things that he had broken off him was cigarettes. But he said instead of where he always had a cigarette pack in his front shirt pocket, he put a New Testament in there. So when his hand would go up there to pull out of almost habit of years and years and years, when he would touch that New Testament, he realized and take that out and read some scripture. I'm telling you, food thoughts are awareness. Instead of it pointing us toward the refrigerator or toward what's the drive-thru I can get to quickest or something else, let it focus us on the Word of God and our attention turn to the Lord talking to him. It may not be where you can read the Word, but you can declare to the Lord, talk to him, commune with him. For this is going to be more difficult for some of you than food, I'm pretty sure. But would you consider changing your social media and TV watching habits, maybe your gaming habits, whatever. I don't know what occupies much of your time. But would you consider for some of those things, God may speak to some of you and say, for the next 21 days, I want you off of whichever direction that is. For some, it may be, again, to just disconnect and walk away from it. Others, it may just be a deliberate limiting of your time intentionally. Ask the Lord about his will for you personally for that. I'm not here to dictate those things. Otherwise, you're going to be fasting for Pastor Ronnie or something. But no, I'm saying between you and the Lord, what's he want to do? Remember that let me give you some just practical things. Water will become your best friend, one of your best friends during this time. Drink lots of it. As you do that, you're flushing out toxins and impurities out of your body. Starvation is not going to set in. For some of us, our stomachs, if we could hear them speak, would turn up and say, thank you, giving me a break, please, thank you. A little reprieve right here. But since you're cutting off caffeine and sweetened drinks, for many, your body will react. That caffeine headache that will happen, I'm just saying, God's going to break off some things if we'll let him. Just let the water flush those things from your system, but drink plenty of it. Don't freak out. I've said this before, but don't freak out if your urine changes color and gets darker during this time. You just see nasty leaving your body. That's weird on Sunday morning to say that. I'm just letting you. I just don't want you to think, man, I better go to the doctor right now. Listen, if you have some medical conditions going on, get medical counsel about the fast and what that needs to look like. I just recommend that in a practical part. But our motive, as we already said, it's not to appear spiritual by our fasting, so we're not doing it as a show Our motive is to set ourselves up this first month of the year to allow the stage to be in place for God to move through the rest of the year. Matthew 6:33, would you read that out loud with me too? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, I'm excited because, and one of the brothers came to me yesterday, he said, I'm excited about the fast. What are you thinking? I'm sharing with that excitement because what God is breaking through as he does on these first months, this first month of the year each time, is something so, there's an anticipation that's there. I want to encourage you to keep a journal or a notepad, or if you use the note section of your phone, however you keep records to do that. Write down your testimony. Write down the things that God will make even more clear to you from his word. I went back to find a few things. I'll just share three really brief things that I looked at. One of the young ladies from church here said, started the fast without, in a previous year, going without cigarettes and without patches, and wound up free, has been free now for a long time. Write that. Hallelujah. Maybe other things in our lives, but another one that I had gone back in a file that I had and just pulled out some. Within the first few days of the fast, this particular mom got a job making $10,000 more a year. I was incredible. And lastly, for this one, I thought this was from last year. And someone who had never participated in a prayer and fasting time before, had been here several years, but was the first year that she decided to get involved. And she had come from a really rough background and had been gotten saved, and God transformed her life, graduated TSDC, but had still some legal restrictions. And some of you know the story. I'm not going to embarrass her. But she was to be on probation until 2025. But God sent the letter, and I believe it was the first week of that fast that she decided to participate in. So God had things. God knows where decisions we're going to make, doesn't he? But sent the letter, received it, that probation was over in 2019. And since it was deferred adjudication, it meant no fees. It meant no having to get approval for a trip to see her mom. And I say it the way she said it. It means no more peeing in a cup. Okay. Some of you, what's that about? Others of you exactly know what that's about. Listen, because, again, deferred adjudication means there's no record of that wrong. And to me, that's just a glorious picture of God's redemption with no record of the wrongs that we've done when we receive forgiveness and the commitment of our lives to the Lord Jesus. God, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Those are just some things that have transpired. I don't know what God wants to do totally in me or in you this time, but I want to see what he's got, don't you? And now we've laid a foundation for fasting. Let me take just a few more minutes and look. Number three is, what can we expect of God during these times? Maybe it's not going to look like one of these testimonies I just gave you. What can we expect? And this time we're setting apart to fast and pray. Look at some things that happened in the New Testament when a certain group of people fasted and prayed. Just three verses here. Acts chapter 13. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. There's four things that I'll quickly move through this morning. What can we biblically expect? What would be in our parameters of reality to expect at this time? Or what we see here, letter A, we expect the Lord to be ministered to. We expect the Lord to be ministered to, because verse 2 of Acts 13 says they ministered as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That's the New King James translation of that part of that verse. The word minister, it means to serve or be a servant to another. They were serving the Lord in this set apart time. It means to worship. It means to obey God. God really, Isaiah 58, one of the examples, if all we're doing is a religious exercise of prayers and fasting with abstaining from food, but our life is walking it out in rebellion to God, I mean, understand, God's not interested in that because it's a heart issue. These are heart things. Yes, I'm going to make some declarations. Yes, I'm going to go far. But as we serve the Lord, obey the Lord, that's as they minister to the Lord in fasting. God honors obedient hearts. And in this gathering that we're reading of in Acts chapter 13, I think we could safely say that they were setting the atmosphere. I believe that was mentioned in one of the classes. We're setting an atmosphere for God to move. These prophets and teachers and had come together, setting an atmosphere of worship. And I believe the conditions were right for God to move there. I tend to watch the weather or check on what weather forecasts are, hit or miss as they may be. But there's often a certain temperature they will say, well, this is the dew point. And it means that when the conditions are right in the realm of weather for dew to fall or to be manifested, then it will appear. It doesn't mean that there's not moisture in the air at other temperatures, but there are certain conditions that bring that moisture into effect or into visibility, into manifestations. Does that make any sense? See, in this set-apart time that they had and that we're calling on ourselves to do, we're not twisting God's arm or trying to get him to do what he doesn't want to do, and we're not trying to earn his favor. Please don't misunderstand that. You're not fasting so that God can forgive my nasty past. Jesus is the one who forgives us by what he did on the cross. Amen. But in ourselves, we're saying, I want to have a prepared atmosphere for God to manifest himself however he wants to in and through me. And we say it as a church, in and through us, for his power to be brought into manifestation, his will to be clear in the church, in this region, and in our nation. We're coming up in an election year even. A Messiah will not sit on the throne at the White House, but who we do have at every level of government is important. Can I hear an amen right there? We ought to be praying already and letting God, but set the atmosphere where he can bring to pass what he wants to. Now, it may be a strange concept as it said that they gathered together in that place, it says they ministered to the Lord. Doesn't it seem strange to you, as it does somewhat to me, to even think that we could bless the Lord or minister to the Lord, the creator of the universe? Two passages real quickly. Psalms 134 brings this out, though, to an extent. Verse 1, he said, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. And bless, it can mean to praise or to kneel, to adore. In verse 2, he said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Psalms 103 is probably more familiar to most in here. Verse 1, bless the Lord. Say it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We can choose to bless the Lord. Can we do that right now? Just out loud. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for your benefit that comes to us and that comes through us by your grace in us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As they gather together, they minister to the Lord, I believe we can expect the Lord to be ministered to. Letter B, what else can we expect? We can expect the Holy Spirit to speak. He did not get muted when the Bible was canonized. Holy Spirit did not become unable to speak at any time, nor has he yet in history. In other words, we can expect God to give us revelation. Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, and it doesn't say exactly how he spoke. There are several ways that are possible that he can still speak to us as well. Number one way that God speaks is right here. If you say, I don't hear God speaking to me anymore, open the Bible. Read it. Read it out loud. It's okay. God's speaking still. And there's more that will come. There's an inward witness of God that can happen. You can put that whole list up on the screen of the ways that God speaks to us, just real briefly. The Bible, through an inward witness, through gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's a prophetic word, a prophecy. It can be through tongues and interpretation of tongues. Again, those things are still active in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will give you a listing of those nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, supernatural manifestations that, again, God's not withdrawn from the earth. So it may be prophetic. It may be through tongues and interpretation. It may be through a word of knowledge. It may be through a word of wisdom, which is about what we'll look at coming forth in just a moment in that setting there. I expect the Holy Spirit to speak to me during this time. Do you expect that too? Will you set your expector for that? I believe biblically we can. What else can we expect? Letter C is we can expect for direction to be given. Going into 2020, I don't want it to merely be a good idea that I have in my life for direction. The word good has one too many O's in it. Let it be a God idea. Let it be a God direction, not merely what it would seem a majority might could agree on with something. We expect, I believe, direction to be given. Look at verse 2, the entire verse. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. See, there was a calling on their lives already. God was not uncertain what he's called you to do. If you're breathing in here, God has a call for you. He said, now set them apart. The interesting directive here, when he says, set apart for me these two men, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which, past tense, I've called them. Which I've already called them. Separate them for the work that I've already called them to. There was a calling on their lives. Now it's time. Setting apart time. I believe in this time of prayer and fasting that we're establishing even today, that God is going to give direction and clarity for the launching of some different facets of ministry in your lives, in my life. You may find yourself having a passion uncovered and stirred toward a certain place of involvement. Maybe it's something that's already going on here in church, like youth ministry or kids ministry, or working in the nursery or the technical support. You may feel a stirring in your heart toward ushering and greeting and helping create a welcoming environment where people who first arrive, one of warmth and love and acceptance. You may feel stirred to be on the security team. Let me just say this aside. I wasn't going to mention it right here, but most of you have no idea how many people in here are carrying and and we don't have a sign on the front of the church that says, disarm yourself before you come in. You're in a safe place. I want to let you know that, not in a cocky way at all. But if you are a CHL holder, then please privately notify the office. So, because we need that to be noted as, and if you want to be part of the security team, at the minimal, we need to know who you are. Our security team leader needs to know that. And then the second part, if you want to be part of that, the coordination and the training that will go with that. And we appreciate you being here. We appreciate people. My heart breaks for tragedies that happen like in White Settlement near Fort Worth. God forbid that would happen again. But our part is to be practical. Again, wasn't going to say that, but if you're carrying, then I don't want you to stand up and say it. I want you to privately let us know so that we can connect you with the right people. But there are stirrings that will be in different ones of you. I want to be involved here or here. Holy Spirit stirrings. I don't think fear-motivated stirrings or those things at all. But so if you have an awareness that God is just heightening in you, like I said, kids, youth, some other area of serving, contact either that department head or our pastor of ministry development, Pastor Teresa, who stood in with communion today, and make your desire known that way, and help let her help you walk through those steps. I believe God's going to expound on some things. Amen. Some of you have been sitting long enough. You know Jesus. You're on your way to heaven. It's time to get up and do something about it. Amen. Okay. I mean, it's not just in this church either. I believe God's going to birth some new ministries. I believe there's some things that we're not currently involved in that God is wanting to birth. He didn't birth it out of here. I'm talking about all of it from me. It's in your spirit. And then we help coordinate that and see what God does. I'm excited for what's coming. Let me share this last point before I close. Is letter D. Letter D is that what I believe we can expect is for doors for ministry that will be opened. Doors for ministry will be opened. Look at verse 3 of Acts 13. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And if you continue, we won't do that for time's sake this morning, but from chapter 13, chapter 14, almost to the end of chapter 15, you'll see a partnership of Paul and Barnabas who were launched that day. You'll see incredible opportunities that they had, doors that they walked through for the gospel to be spread, miraculous things to happen. And I think as we're looking on into 2020, there are going to be doors of opportunity that open up for us. God's dropped some things in our lap and platforms that we didn't ask for or invite, but God's doing it. I believe He's going to do it not only corporately, but personally. And many of you today, as part of the kingdom of God in Bellmead and Waco, McLennan County, and all these surrounding counties, as we're setting ourselves up to seek the Lord. See, this thing of seeking God, it's not just about us. It's about His kingdom through us. Amen. Opportunities to witness, to share the love of Jesus. I believe God is just going to highlight those things to us. I just say, get ready, church. Look over at somebody and say, get ready. Get ready. Danny, would you come? As I close, I want to tell you about one more opportunity. This opportunity is available 100% in this room. And that's an opportunity for those who don't yet know the Lord to come to know Him as Savior and as Lord. On this first Sunday of 2020, what an incredible time for people to make a commitment of surrender, a new commitment, starting over. Some would be able to do that today. See, we don't get into right relationship with Jesus because we pray so many hours a day. We don't get in right relationship with Jesus because we go into a fasting time or we serve in a certain area. We get in a right relationship with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you can bear with me in the next several, just two or three minutes, I'd rather you not have any moving around if it's not essential, because this is such an important thing. We came, we've rejoiced in the presence of God. My heart has been stirred. I've been motivated and pursuing after God in a stronger way as a result of being in His presence. But listen, there are some that are standing between heaven and hell right now. The Bible says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And God, maybe you come here every Sunday. Maybe you're just here only for a few times. But I'm telling you, today's the day that we get to make a decision. Each of us really will make a decision today. Let me try to explain something here. And some of you may use this this pattern to help share Jesus with somebody else, with your friends. But I want us to understand, God is a loving God. Most everybody agrees with that. God's a God of love. But I want to share the other aspect of God's nature. God's holy and God's just. He stands as judge of the universe. Ultimately, that's where we'll stand in front of. Now, if we appeared before any judge in this city, and we heard that judge saying to a murderer, "You know, I'm just in a good mood today. I think I'm just going to let you go." Would you think that was a just judge? Your answer is no. This isn't even a trick question. It would not be a just judge. I'm just going to let you go. If he looked at another person and he said, "Your fine legally is $10,000. But because I feel good today, I'm just going to forget about it. You just go ahead on your way." Would you call that judge a just judge? The answer again is no. You can say that out loud. No, it's not. But if you were the one that owed the $10,000 and someone came from behind you and said, "Judge, I'll pay that debt. I'll pay that full debt for Ronnie," then the judge would be free to say, "Okay, I've received payment. You can go free." In that decision, the judge would have still been just because the fine was paid. The debt was canceled. Paid. It wasn't canceled. It was paid. So what Jesus did before the Father, when people say just real quickly, "Jesus died for your sins," if there's no context to it, oftentimes it won't make sense. But what Jesus did before the Father was take all our sins, whether we've murdered people, even with our tongues, whether we've lied, whether we've cheated, whether we've been immoral, whatever sins that we can name, Jesus stood before the Father, the judge. Actually, he wasn't standing. He was on the cross before the judge, the Father. And when he proclaimed that word, that phrase, and probably in Aramaic is how he said it, but we read it in English as "it is finished." That phrase literally means paid in full. Paid in full. The payment was extended. At that point, that payment was extended to all mankind. Whoever lived in the past, but whoever in the future. Those God followers in the Old Testament extended there. But those in the future, that's where we, you and I are. But each one isn't automatically included. Hear the word automatically. It's not as though that when we die, some way going through the passage of the doorway of death cleanses us from those sins. Rather, Jesus told us how it will work. He said, "Repent and believe the good news. Believe the gospel." Repentance is when I turn from my own way and I turn to Jesus Christ and I let him by his power come and cleanse me, not only forgiving my sins, but the Bible says making me a brand new creation on the inside. That's the glorious opportunity that we have, the miracle of the new birth. So Jesus this morning is standing, this first Sunday, 2020, having paid our debt, so that we could walk out free, so that he could change our citizenship from the power of darkness, translate us into the kingdom of his dear son, of God's dear son. You can become a child of God this morning, not by joining Church of the Open Door. Won't get anybody into heaven. If you're on your way to heaven, you ought to belong to a local church. But first is getting on our way. Every born again believer should echo this. But the Holy Spirit says something today. Revelation 22, verse 17, near the very last of the Bible. I want you to read it with me. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." I want you to close your eyes while prayer partners come. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for your glorious gift of forgiveness, of salvation, of transformation. Not by works of righteousness that we could do, not by some form of penance that we can try to repay some way for all the wrongs we had done, but Lord, on Jesus on the cross, when you said paid in full, that's what we look to. And if we understand, we choose surrender to you. I thank you, Lord, that you said you would make, though our sins were as scarlet, they would be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'd be as wool. Lord, I thank you for turning hearts this day, once more on this first Sunday of this decade, closing out the entire past decade and now beginning this new. Lord, that all, each one of us in this place would take up a new level of surrender and submission to you. But for those who have not said yes to Jesus yet, that this morning will be that time in Jesus' name. With your eyes still closed, I'm not going to single you out or put you in an embarrassing situation. But if you're here today and you said, today I want to start for the very first time, or I want to start over with the Lord, I want you to be able to raise your hand. I want to acknowledge you. Then you can put your hand back down. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Some more that would just say, today is my day. I will not sit back and forfeit what God has offered. He said, if any's thirsty, come and drink. Come. And there's the invitation of God all through this room. Just slip your hand back up and say, this is me. I want to do this. Because in a few moments, as you raise your hand, I'm going to have us all stand. I'm going to open up this front. And then those who need prayer, some of you, you're here today. You need prayer of healing for a body that's sick. You need another situation. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer about. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me this morning. Everybody standing, if you would. Some of you raised your hands. Some of you should have. No wait there. Except I want to invite you to, as this worship team leads us in worship, I want you to be able to just come. You can step out and come. Prayer partners, young and old, are up here to agree with you for a new beginning or for healing or for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. For whatever you have need of that we can take to God, let's do that together. Worship. Church, we'll do worship God together. Don't move around still because people are coming. People, I don't want somebody to be disturbed or distracted by. Thank you for honoring God in that. Thank you, Lord.
Who you say you are.
Yes, you are, Lord. Thank you. I thank you. Yeah. Decisions are being made in this room today that affect all eternity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus.